て。Death Random。With your host, GMC.
And it's Thursday, November 24th, and this is Death Random on Signal, Hackerspace Radio. My name is GMC, and I am your host for tonight. And with me, again, finally, is Oki.
Hello.
Hey.
I heard you were called that you were a grandfather of the Dutch Hackerspaces, I heard.
A grandfather, yeah. Well, with age comes wisdom. Where have you been, meanwhile? I mean, it's been a while ago that you've been in the show.
Last thing, you were too busy.
Yeah.
And therefore I was there, I think.
Well, you had some forays into the Dutch moped, of the Amsterdam moped scene, I believe.
I cannot say anything about this.
Fit for the show anyway. What do we have tonight? Well, first of all, we have some breaking news about the ETH Zero Winter event. We have a nice long interview with Abstract. And he did something cool, Schemaverse. Stay tuned to find out what that is. And we will talk about SpaceNet, which is... we are going to talk all about it. I'm not going to give it away. Do you have any subjects, Oki?
Well, I just found out that the PVV wants to have a yes map for the router opt-in.
So,
yeah, you know Google
yes map.
You know Google Maps.
Yeah.
Google whatever is mapping our routers and whatever Wi-Fi stuff. Actually, the people are doing, but they don't understand it because they don't know how mobile phones work. They still think that Google does it with this stupid car, but they actually do it themselves. So
they do. Oh.
Yeah.
Evil. Well, actually, that's good that you bring in some news because I have some news items as well. First of all, Ilya Zhytomyrsky, you might know him as the founder of Diaspora, came to an unfortunate end by his own hand. He passed away. And in response to that, Mitch Altman from TV Be Gone and Hackerspace Noisebridge posted an article on blog.noisebridge.net where he urges people who suffer from depression to reach out to people and share and, choose that instead of choosing the way out. And I can only say people should definitely do that. There's also an initiative called bluehackers.org because there's a lot of depression going on in our community, I fear. I mean, Ilya was not the first brilliant young mind to go in this way. In other news, Hack42, the Dutch hackerspace in Arnhem, have found a new hackerspace. And according to the reports, it's huge. It's huger than huge, and there's a big area of land around it. And they're currently really, really busy filling all these square meters with, well, hacky stuff. In other news from the European Court of Justice, there was a court case serving Scarlet versus Sabam. Sabam is the organization lobbying for the content industry. Scarlet is an internet provider, and Sabam basically, they asked the internet provider to filter the internet in search for intellectual property violations, intellectual property right. It's such a difficult word. You have to be a Sabam controller to be able to pronounce it right. The good news is the EU Court of Justice ruled that such filtering is illegal, and with that we have another point scored for net neutrality. Finally, last week in the Netherlands we had a really interesting thing happening. There was an initiative called RealCert, which was supposedly in reaction to the laid-back and not sufficient reaction of GovCert on IT security issues in the Dutch government IT infrastructure. The language on the site was, well, let's say Mate infused, and well, about 12 hours after the launch, the site was already down, and we still don't know who the people were behind it. And we do have a national security strategy these days in the Netherlands, which is sort of like the national coordinator for the prevention of terrorism. And it's on one hand good that we have this. On the other hand, I fear they will be more concerned with protecting their own interests, the state, the government, instead of the privacy and security of ourselves, the civilians. There is, however, another initiative by Hackerspaces in the Netherlands, hacker organizations in the Netherlands. It will be a platform where hackers who fear legal action against them if they report a leak in IT infrastructure from the government, where they can go to report these leaks, and the organization, its working title is HackerLeaks, will then go to the affected party, the government or whatever, and then, well, be a middleman, protect the hacker, but also making sure the systems are safe. And of course, when it's fixed, they will publish the leaks so that everyone can see which systems are affected. And well, at some point you will see a lot of systems that are affected, and if the same system pops up again and again, organizations can not use it. And that's about the news for today, unless, Oki, you may have some more news items.
Oh yeah, I have some more news items about some email addresses from the Sinterklaas Journaal.
The Sinterklaas Journaal? Well, you have to explain, what the hell is Sinterklaas?
Well, it has something to do for with the holy man who comes on a boat. And
a steamboat, if I'm not mistaken.
Sometimes it's another kind of. He travels around with a black eye, and he rides on a horse, a white horse. So, and he has a funny looking hat and beard. No, it's not Osama bin Laden.
He's sort of the inspiration to Santa Claus.
Yeah, but then he comes earlier.
He does, but he has there's a website for all the kids to enjoy Sinterklaas festivities.
And they lost something like 1.5 million email addresses.
God, that's awful. Even kids aren't safe these days with.
I don't think the kids had permission from the parents to go there anyway.
Oh, it was an explicit Sinterklaas site. Wow.
No. I mean, like, if you are underage, you have to ask your parents if you are allowed to go on the website and leave your data, right?
Well, that was the news for today. I have some music queued up for you listeners out there. It's called Wah 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 by the Fresh Body Shop.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You have a lot of screens in front of you. You've got two. I myself have 1, 2, 3 screens here. So we're well connected to the internet, aren't we? Are you using the wired or the wireless network here?
The wireless network sucks a little bit. But
it sucks. Well, it works for me.
Yeah, but I have like the vintage Mac stuff.
Oh, there you go. That's your problem. Because well, since last week we have something new at RevSpace. We had some crappy Wi-Fi with two access points that didn't know about each other, and well, that was a bitch because you had to change Wi-Fi networks when you walk to another room. But we had a nice system here, and last week, well, actually over the past 4 or 5 weeks, people from BitLair, the hackerspace that rules the hacker scene, they have been connecting it up, but they've been doing something else. Because since that network is up, we have an SSID called SpaceNet. Wilco, what is the SSID SpaceNet?
Well, basically, what it is it's a secure network where you can log on using your own space credentials, and you can do that. It's basically secure wireless roaming. So you can just log in using your username and password from your own hackerspace and use that on any other hackerspace.
Oh, that's cool, because well, we have a lot of hackerspaces in the Netherlands. That's not a secret, and it's a small country, so we get around a lot, and we have to remember all the passwords from all the hackerspaces. What this does is I can just go to, well, for example, BitLair and log in with my password from my own hackerspace, RevSpace, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You can just use, in your case, gmc@revspace.nl, and you can just log in, and it will be. And it will work, and it will be secure.
Pretty awesome. RevSpace has it, BitLair has it. Are there any other spaces yet enabled on the SpaceNet?
I recently added Uxpace to the NL node. And Frack and Random Data are also implementing right now.
Okay. So that's coming a long way then. Tell me, what's under the hood? How does it work? I mean, all these spaces, they have their own Wi-Fi infrastructure. So presumably, there's one central server that has all the information, or am I mistaken?
No, it's federated. So basically, there will be a set of proxy nodes for every country. So you can, in our case, there's one proxy node in the Netherlands. That every space connects to the proxy node, and that one connects to all the other nodes. So you can always go to your home server, and it will be TLS encrypted. So there will be a session always going to your own hackerspace, and authentication will happen at your own hackerspace and not locally and not centralized.
Okay, so the local hackerspace won't be able to, obtain my password, basically.
Exactly. They won't be able to obtain it, and in fact, they won't even know your username, because it's a two-stage thingy. In the first stage, you decide which server to go to, so you can have an anonymous identity, which in your case would be, for example, anonymous@revspace.nl. So it knows to connect to RevSpace, but it doesn't know who you are. The only server that will actually get your username and password will be the home server for RevSpace.
Excellent. It makes me wonder, though, what stops me from setting up a rogue SpaceNet access point and just pretending I provide the authentication service?
Basically, you can install the CA certificate for every... For your Radius server, the RevSpace Radius. If you install the certificate, and you can check the certificate against your public key, so you always know you are authenticating with your own hackerspace.
Sounds good.
It's just TLS.
If any of the spaces out there, I mean, right now it's mostly Dutch spaces, but you're not excluding spaces from other countries, right? If a hackerspace wants to join up with the SpaceNet, federated authentication network. What do they need in this space?
Well, first of all, we're not going to add them ourselves. So if people from other countries want access, they have to talk to each other first and set up a node for their own country so that they can manage their own country in terms of hackerspaces. So every country will get their own a proxy node so that we don't have to manage everything. So every country can get a delegation. In Germany, for example, I think we were going to delegate it to CCC or something, so they can manage the .de realm.
Makes sense.
And if more than five join up and they can get a delegation, and we can connect others.
Hey, and so in the space itself, I mean, you need something to provide the Wi-Fi and access point. Can we use any access point? Are there any requirements for that?
There are requirements, but they're pretty basic. They have to support WPA2 Enterprise with a Radius server, and that's it. So any DDWRT will work. I think OpenWRT will work, but most stock firmwares will also support it.
Okay, and you obviously also need a Radius server at your space?
Yeah, correct.
And I'm wondering, how do they communicate with each other, the network at the space and the Radius server? This is going over the internet. Are there any tunnels set up, or is it directly?
It is directly done. Everyone gets a key for every Radius session between the Radius servers. Every session will get their own key, and I believe that's MD5 encrypted, so that's not really secure. Not secure enough, but that's not a problem because all the authentications go over TLS over that connection, so it will be secure enough because everything is in the TLS session anyway.
Got it. Well, we already talked about it. Does it scale? Well, obviously it does, because there's no single point of failure mostly. It's sort of a hierarchical model, if I got it right.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, everything proxies to the other. So the country nodes, they will all get a reference to each other, so they have to make sure everyone always get there.
We're getting a lot of noise on the line. Just to round up, if people are interested in joining, whether it be in the Netherlands or, well, in Germany, if that starts off, who knows, elsewhere in the world, where do they find more info on this?
Currently, we do not have a website yet, but there will be one at spacefed.net, and that's Federated Spaces, SpaceFed.
Got it.
And the website will be up in a few weeks.
Meanwhile, there is also an IRC channel, I believe.
Yeah, that's on irc.smurfnet.ch. The channel is #spacenet. SpaceFed, sorry.
#SpaceFed on irc.smurfnet.ch, right?
Correct, yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad we have this network here. I'm logged onto it with my... I have four screens, actually. I've got the Mac, the ThinkPad, the crappy DJ thing, the tablet. So great. Keep up the good work. And thanks for taking time to talk to us. And I've got some more music ready. This time it's from Hyperfescent, and it's called Deep Sea Diver. We'll be right back.
think it was about a month ago that the Postgres Conference Europe took place in Amsterdam. I was, of course, involved with the organization. And during one of the pre-conference lunches, someone mentioned something interesting to me. A subject that is a unification of two areas of interest that I have, hacking and Postgres. And on the phone is Abstract, the inventor of Schemaverse, which, according to the website, is a space-based strategy game implemented entirely within a PostgreSQL database. Compete against other players using raw SQL commands to command your fleet, or if your PLPG SQL foo is strong, wield it to write AI and have your fleet command itself. Wow, that sounds like an interesting idea. How did you come up with that, Abstract?
It was actually just one of those ideas that you get, and you kind of start programming something and you don't really know where it's going to go. I kind of just wanted the challenge of trying to implement a game completely into Postgres. I didn't think it would, I wasn't actually sure if it would be possible, but I'm glad I've kind of proven that it certainly is.
Yeah, so it's a multiplayer strategy game. Many listeners will probably know how these games work. Basically, you have iterations, ticks they are called, and in each tick you can move, take certain actions, and it runs entirely in the database server, right?
That's correct. Basically, my goal was that every player would be a user on the database itself. So as a player, you have your account, you connect to the database using whatever you want, be it an actual Postgres client or a programming language, and then you run your SQL commands.
Wow, and so the entire game is implemented in stored procedures, something Postgres excels in. Did you use the native language for stored procedures, or did you use something external like Perl or PHP? Or
yeah, everything is just PLPG SQL.
Wow.
It's been just a great language to work with. I've had a really good time with it. Everything is either stored procedures or functions running off of triggers, or also this wouldn't have really been possible if it wasn't for the Postgres rules system with the views, which helped a lot too.
Ah, right, where you can actually hook into the if you have a view, but normally you can only select from it, you can't update or insert. But with these rules, you can actually trigger on these insert or update statements and hook up all kinds of actions, right?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I haven't actually found another database system that does it. I'm not sure if Oracle or MS SQL do it now. The last I looked, and it might be because it's the standard, if you have a view, you can only update to one table directly. So there needs to be a very close relationship. But with Postgres, because of the rules system, you can kind of move the data around wherever you want, which is basically the heart of a game. So.
Yeah. Well, how does one play? What are the basic entities in the game?
Basically, as you mentioned, it's a space game. So you start off with a planet, which is kind of like your home planet, which you can lose. And you build spaceships by inserting into the ship's table, or your my ship's view, I should say. Then you can use the move function or any of the action functions, like there's attack, there's repair, and there's mine. And your goal is to basically fly around, find other people to attack or other ships to attack, and mine other planets and mine your enemy's planets. That way you can conquer it and get resources to build your fleet up.
Oh, that sounds like I could just say insert a gazillion ships into my fleet and take over the universe. Or...
Yeah, except you only have so much money and so much resources, and because of all the rules and triggers, you can't really work out of that.
Okay, so it's also really, you can't see the data from other players, or actually the core game data.
Yeah, exactly. With the basically, most players have access to all the views. So there's behind the scenes, there's a ship's table, but the user only has the ability to select from the my ship's view. And basically, it all really comes down to one little variable that Postgres keeps track of, which is session underscore user. So because I can, the code can always relate to which users actually perform in the queries, all the views are able to cull down the results based on what user is calling it.
Oh, that's interesting. That's actually quite a display of the security of the security model and the ways you can secure data in Postgres. I must say, it doesn't sound like a fun game, typing insert this, update that, select, etc. I mean, I do that for a living all days. actually, I saw something on your site where you said, I don't actually want to play this. How do people play this, actually? Do they type inserts and updates, or is there something more to it?
Once you get into the game, first off, there's a bit of a learning curve where you spend most of your time typing out the SQL commands and just getting a feel for the actual universe. But once you get to understand how the game works and how the mechanics are going to function, there's actually a scripting system built into it. So on each player's behalf, the game will connect as your user once per tick, which is usually about a minute. It'll connect once a minute and run your scripts on your behalf. So what ends up happening is these scripts, since they're running as your user, have the ability to run any of the SQL that your user could run. So you don't actually have to be there every minute commanding your fleet. You can write scripts that will command your fleet for you.
Oh, that sounds interesting. And so you can concentrate on the higher level strategy instead of moving each ship individually with a SQL query.
Yeah, and there's also state involved in every ship. So if you tell a ship to attack another ship, you can set it into the ship directly. That way, each tick, it will do it automatically until you change it. Same with move. You can tell it to go to a destination, and it will get there. But the fun thing about the scripts is that because they can do anything, they can even modify other scripts. So they kind of get this fun little kind of AI aspect to it where it actually learns and changes based on what's happening.
Wow. And these scripts are also a BLPG SQL? Or?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Every user has another view that they can use called My Fleets. And if you insert the declaration section of a script and the actual code section, the begin and end, into these two parameters on the table, the backend system reads those values and creates a PLPG function on your behalf. So really the AI script is just a function called fleet underscore script underscore ID number.
Oh, wow. And this is where things get interesting, actually, because if I understand this correctly, you can insert scripts into the core engine that, if I understand it right, run with the permission of the underlying system instead of just the user permission. You took it out for a spin as well at DEFCON 19, which took place in last August, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
We brought it to DEFCON 19 in Las Vegas, and that was certainly a surprise to get the ability to or the opportunity to do that. It was certainly a stressful time. I don't know if you've ever tried to look up a way to secure a database that's open to the internet, but the only real advice you will get from anyone. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So here I was doing something that everyone tells me to never do, and I brought it to DEF CON of all places. Surprisingly, Postgres itself—well, not really that surprisingly—but Postgres itself did great. There was no attack on it, really whatsoever. That was successful.
There were attempts, though, or?
There were certainly attempts. There are some drop database attempts logged in the overall log file, which is fun. But obviously, just because your player can run the command doesn't mean it will work. But there were a couple bugs in my own code instead. So some people found some fun hacks with that. And then there were some attacks that were kind of a combination of things I couldn't really, or I should have anticipated, but didn't. One of my favorite attacks that I heard about was someone basically created a spy drone. In the game, you can normally only create ship specific places, like in a certain center or a certain area of the universe and on your home planets. And creating a ship costs 1,000 credits. Well, someone figured out, or it's also important to note that you can't see where your enemy ships are unless they're in range of your ships. So you don't really know if there's a big enemy swarm coming until they're within range of your ships. Well, someone figured out that if they start a transaction, insert into the My Ships view to create a ship, then check the ships in range view to see what ships are there, then store that information separately, because they're running a Python script, I believe. Store that information separately and then roll back the transaction. They now knew where all the ships were in that area, and it didn't cost them anything.
That is clever.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that.
Yeah.
Other than that, there was also a SQL injection in that same section we were just talking about in the fleet scripts that converts the code into functions. And then there was actually another problem with that code recently with my fix that I added to it. And that one's interesting because that's actually an issue in Postgres that we found.
Okay, so you did actually reveal a fault in Postgres itself. That's is that already fixed? Can you disclose it, or?
It's out there in the open. It's been discussed on the hacker the PG Hackers mailing list. I believe there is something to put in. I believe that they are working on it, but I'm actually not too sure about that.
Okay.
Basically, what happened was I was using a random value to begin an function code to make sure that you didn't break out of it and then start creating your own function underneath. Because the only way I have to do it is with the execute command. So you can add multiple commands, but with the secret value, theoretically, it should have been fine. Which wouldn't have been a problem, except the set seed command is available for all users.
Ah.
So all someone had to do was run set seed, and they knew what the results of the random were, and then they could break out. But that's kind of one of the fun things about the Schemaverse is it's as you play, you try and collect trophies. A round only lasts 7 days. At the end of a round, trophies are given out based on, you know, best ships, most planets, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another trophy called the SQL Injection Trophy.
The SQL Injection Trophy.
Yeah. And there's no actual way to get this trophy in the game. So naturally, the only way to get it, if I see someone with it, I know to go to them because they've clearly figured something out.
No, that is, I mean, the last 7 days you mentioned. So these games run for a long time, then, or?
Yeah, the games run for 7 days. If I bring it to a place like DEF CON, I kind of have to tweak a couple things. The game itself has been actually being played for almost a year now. It was last December that some people accidentally found it and started playing. But it's been in development for about 2 years.
Okay, so there is a server running outside of DEF CON, I mean, that people just can go to and play.
Yeah. Yep. The database server itself is db.schemaverse.com, but you do have to register a user first at schemaverse.com.
Okay, so that you have a database user, actually. And this is just publicly online, basically, so...
Yep, I'm doing the exact thing people tell me not to do. it's an open database, but there's... I mean, the thing about... one of the reasons why I started the project is I... Well, one of the reasons why I continued the project after I started is I wanted to try and push databases. And there's an understanding behind it. You don't want your data open to the world. But, I mean, with all these different services and protocols that are always open to the world, like, you've got... no one would say, don't put your HTTP server on the internet. No one's going to say, the SMTP doesn't go on the internet, or IMAP doesn't go on the internet. Why would you do that? Well, what is it about, say, Postgres that is so... or any database server that is just so broken the internet.
Yeah.
If it's your company's most sensitive data, of course you want to throw that behind 6 firewalls, some intrusion detection systems, and whatever the hell you need. But if it's, you know, if the database is such a beautiful thing and information is so amazing, why aren't we utilizing both to put more flexible data on the internet?
It is, yeah. And actually, can you get to the source code as well of the whole game?
Yep, I host everything on my GitHub account, which you can get to from that schemaverse.com page. All the code is there. It's mostly just one big SQL script that creates the environment. But there's also two Perl scripts that have to run in the back end to, one maintains the tick to make keep the game going, and the other one polices query limits to make sure that commands aren't running for too long and keeping everyone waiting.
Okay, yeah, because of course you have locks on tables and stuff like that.
Yeah. And Postgres, unfortunately, doesn't do the greatest job at managing resources, so needed an external unit. And that's one of those things that if I can find limitations and kind of get them out to the community as potential things to fix, then I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, it's a great way indeed of putting it to the test and seeing where it fails and where it succeeds in protecting your data and your resources. I mean, I guess you could still do a DDoS attack. That would be a bit boring, but who knows? Maybe that's a direction of development that some of the Postgres developers will also take. Mm-hmm. Talking about schema for us, what's next? You're going to continue developing?
Yeah. I had the opportunity to bring it to PG West 2011.
Ah.
And I didn't get to bring a tournament there, but we just talked about the game and had some people playing it just on the public server, and they found a couple of new issues. And actually, just in talks to bring it as a tournament in, I believe, May to PGCon in Ottawa, Ontario.
Ah, wow. So it's going all around the world. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Ottawa event. I think it'll be really interesting to see what a lot of, I guess, more the kind of hardcore Postgres people can do with it. Something tells me it won't survive as well as it did at DEF CON.
What version are you using, actually? Are you using the latest, greatest release? Or?
I am actually a release or two behind, unfortunately, right now. Do plan on updating soon because there's some new features with indexes that I want to do. Mostly, I believe it's called the Neighbors Index or something, to speed up the way you can find nearby ships and planets.
I've heard about it. Yeah, so that's cool. You're also like keeping up with developments that are taking place in Postgres. So it's not only a showcase of the security, but also of the richness in features. It looks to me, wow, very cool. Yeah. So you mentioned the website schemaverse.com, where people can find all the information, the source code, make an account, and play with it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say my documentation is a little outdated right now, but we're also at #schemaverse on Freenode, the IRC the IRC server. So if you have any questions or need to complain about something, then I'm usually sitting there as well.
And if you can also fix it at the same time, that's of course.
Well, normally if you find a bug, I'm more than willing to help your player out for the round as well. So
it's nice. It's quite a busy channel actually. There's like a community around it as well. So I was interested to hear about this. And we've got all the. You're also on Twitter, I believe. #schemaverse as well.
Yep. #schema or I guess @schemaverse or also my own account.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm messing up. That's the IRC you mentioned. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And my personal Twitter account is abstract, but the second A is an underscore.
Yes, and it's ABSTR_CT. Well, that's easy. Yeah. Well, cool. I hope to run into you sometime at one of the European hacker conventions, because
I would love to hit the next Amsterdam one up. That sounds great.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm going to keep an eye on this project because it's a really cool thing, and maybe set up a competition of my own somewhere around here.
Great.
Thanks so much for talking to me, and good luck with the Schemaverse.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That was Jason Shaw with The Big House. And with that fading away, we quickly move on to our next subject. Because we're running out. Again, of course, we're always running out. That's how we do things here. The next subject, I mentioned it already. We've got some news about ETH Zero Winter Event 2012. With me on the phone is Jan, one of the main suspect behind ETH Zero and their events. Good evening.
Good evening, Koen.
Hey, and you're in, if I'm correct, in the hackerspace in Leeuwarden, Frank?
Not anymore. I drove home, but I was there earlier this evening.
Okay, and have you been connecting the space to SpaceNet, or still working on that?
We're still working on that, yeah. It's still an issue to set up the servers and everything, so...
Yeah, that crazy LDAP on... Yeah. Tell me about it. Hey, but that's not why I called you. We have some breaking news, right, about ETH Zero Winter. We know when it is.
Yeah, we do have a date, and it's been set to be at the 13th, 14th, and 15th of January 2012.
Excellent.
So about 2 weeks after Congress and 2 weeks before FOSDEM.
So I can roll out right from Eindbaas in Utrecht. Straight to, where do I have to go?
We're not going to give you the location just yet, but it's going to be somewhere near Arnhem and Enschede.
Okay.
So it's going to be, not too central, but
That's
for us as northern people, it'll be quite a drive, but.
Well, for us Western people as well, I think, but it's doable. It's, yeah. So that's close to the old. It's not the same location as last year, or.
No, it's not the same location. We try to have a new location. We like to, get our hands dirty and find some new stuff to do and set up a new atmosphere. And yeah, that's it's more fun to have something new. So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You said some new atmosphere. New, will there be a change in the activities in the program as well?
Yeah. We were doing a lot of social stuff last few events, and we're trying to go back to more technical backgrounds and more workshops, more lectures, and we're not going to throw the cozy and nice atmosphere overboard, but we're going to have as much of an of a big crew to have that done. So,
well, that's cool. And I believe there's also going to be a hardware hacking area again. The theme of the event is going to be censorship, right?
Yeah, we decided to have censorship as the theme, and we're trying to have workshops and lectures around that topic.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a big topic now because the internet needs to fight back, and we need to make things happen actually, because governments are moving in and people should unite, I think.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you. There is a lot of movement on it. I mean, we all know Tor, of course, the Onion Router project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's lots of initiatives to take back the web, as the old browser slogan went. But we really have to work on that. So I'm looking forward to this edition of ETH0 Winter. And I will be doing a bit of work as well, getting in some hardware to play with and some equipment.
Very good. I think the hacker the hacker atmosphere will be there. I think the hardware hacking and then a bit bigger lecture hall than last year, and all the stuff going on. I think we'll have a great weekend.
Very cool. So can people already start putting their money in the event? Is it ticket?
Not yet. We're actually, since we've just decided on the theme, we're actually setting up the posters and the flyers and everything like that right now. And I expect to have the ticket shop open somewhere in about a week, so 1st of December, something like that.
Excellent. So for people curious about this, Oki, you want to say something?
How much? Quanta costa?
How much? Let's say 42 euros, right?
Oh, that's a nice symbolic number.
That's the same we had last year, and I'm not 100% sure that we're going to make it for that amount, because we do have a bit of a nicer location. But, something around that amount would be great. So
either 42 or 1,337.
Just a figure, yeah.
Somewhere in between. Well, excellent. Hey, Jan, thanks for talking to me. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck with all the preparations. I know it's a lot.
Yeah, I'll see you at the event. And if people are having too much time in their hands, they can always help out, because we need some extra people.
Excellent. And, just for the record, where can people go to get some more info on this event?
They can go to the website, which is eth-0.nl, or to our IRC channel, which you can find on the website as well.
All right. Well, excellent. A very good evening. I'm going to play some last music. And, then we will conclude the show, unless Oki, of course, wants to derange things. If he doesn't, I will now play a song called Green Eyes by W-E-I-R-D. Yes, and sadly an hour comes to an end again. It's 4 minutes before 11. Just a quick look ahead, what's coming up. Events, we talked about ETH0 Winter. Of course, before that, we will have the 28C3. Okay, that's when does it start?
Officially, it's only 27 until the 30th of December. But if you come some, if you look on the website of the CCC, then I think you can go there as a volunteer earlier and whatever. And then we have also nog this weekend Hack in a Box Random whatever.
Hack in the Random 2600 NL data box.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Are you there?
I don't know. I did get an invitation and I did apply to it, but I never heard from it again, so I don't know.
Then you haven't been selected as the happy few. What else is coming up? Well, 28C3, of course, if you don't have tickets yet, I believe there's one more run of ticket sales.
I don't know anything about tickets. I never buy a ticket, actually.
Is there a program already for the
probably. I don't know. Maybe people should look at the Orga Wiki.
Well, I know Signal will be there. We will be doing at least two shows. More on that later on our own website, signal.hackerspaces.org. What else is there? In January the 13th, Eindbaas Edition 8, which you cannot miss. You can get tickets now on eindbaas.org. What won't be happening next year is Soon Camp, which I find particularly sad, because I was planning to go there. It was going to be a camp in Canada, much like the European camps, but the organizers had some various reasons. Basically, life got in the way, and it has been postponed until 2013. But don't worry, we're working with them to make OHM 2013 and Soon Camp not collide, so you can attend both. What else is coming up? A British camp, actually. I haven't heard much about that yet. I'm keeping an eye on it. And there's much, much more. If you want to know what there is a new website that has been launched recently. It's called hackercons.org. And, well, you can find, for example, that the 28C3 is happening there. And, well, there's lots of things happening. SmooCon is coming up.
FOSDEM.
FOSDEM in February, of course, in Brussels, the big open source event. Nullcon, the Maker Faire in Chicago. It's not a con. There's a lot coming up. Check it out.
The 10th of December, we have some retro stuff going on in the ref space.
Very good that you mention it. That's the 10th of December. It's we have some leaflets
flyer.
And it's going to be all about retro gaming. Pinball games, my personal favorite, but of course there will be all kinds of game consoles like Nintendo, Atari, Amiga, Commodore 64, which are not game consoles, but they are there as well. Everything you can imagine, and if you want to know more about that, go to awesomeretro.com. And with that, we
slash end, space.
Slash space. Well, I'm sure there's a link somewhere on the page, isn't there? On the well. Anyway, with that, we sort of end this program. This was Dev Random on November 24th. My name is GMC. With me was...
Hello, I'm Oki.
Oki. Thanks for listening, and so long.
And thanks for the fish.
It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
We are Cyberpunk.
system, a centuries old, existing on principles that hang no more today. A system that has not changed much since the day of its birth. This system is wrong. The system must impose its truth upon us so that it can rule. And the government needs us to follow it blindly. For this reason, we live in an informational eclipse. When people acquire information other than that from the government, they cannot distinguish the right from the wrong. Thus, the lie becomes a truth. A truth fundamental to everything else. Thus, the leaders control with lies, and the ordinary people have no notion of what is true and follow the government blindly. Even in the most well-developed and democratic countries, the system poses misinformation. Even in the countries that pretend to be the cradle of free speech. Misinformation is one of the system's main weapons. A weapon they use very well. We fight for the freedom of information. We fight for freedom of speech and press. For the freedom to express our thoughts freely without being persecuted by the system. We are Cyberpunk. We are Cyberpunk.
By the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion.